Good morning. Welcome to Holy Nativity. For today's worship, you were handed a folder that contains a blue color service order card and a blue sheet with the hymns and the prayers and the readings for today. This is what you'll need to guide you through today's service, or you can follow along with the projected information if you prefer. This year's Vacation Bible School is rapidly approaching. It's about a week out. It's August 1st through the 5th. And this year's program is titled Deep Sea Discovery. We are collecting donations of food items for VBS. Those details are in your news and notes, as well as craft store gift cards. Your help is greatly appreciated. We're also recruiting volunteers to help with the many aspects of the program. If you're interested or you require more information, you can talk to Kirsten, Terry McFarlane, or Megan. They're the contact persons for VBS. On Saturday, July the 30th, six bands will be joining us for Make Music for Jesus in an effort to raise money for the youth group to go on a mission trip next summer. Tickets are $20 per person for the entire day. Tickets are on sale in the Narthex, and you can see Yvonne Broussard for tickets. The women's annual pool party is scheduled for August 20th at 1 p.m. Check out the news and notes for additional details on that event. Also, save the date. September 11th is Rally Day. There'll be one unity service on that date, followed by a church picnic at the Patapsco Valley State Park. Today's hymns are from the Lutheran Book of Worship. That's the thick green hymnal that's located in the pew. Thank you, and may God bless.
Good morning. I want to welcome you to worship this morning and to keep reminding us that the insert that you see in your bulletin looking purple like this is to remind you that there are still volunteer opportunities here at church, and we are still seeking for help in many areas. So if the Lord touches your heart in any of those areas to help us out, we would highly appreciate it. And also, there is the connection card in the pew that you may want to pick up and fill out if you have a particular request. And if you're a visitor visiting with us for the first time, we want to welcome you this morning and ask you also to fill one of these up so that we can keep in touch with you. All right? With that being said, we ask us to rise and begin worship this morning with our vision statement. We are called by Christ, unified by the Holy Spirit, to grow disciples, to spread the gospel. Let's begin with the entrance hymn.
Thank you.
We continue in worship this morning in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High. For you make me glad by your deeds, O Lord. I sing for joy at the works of your hands. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We confess our sins before God in penitent faith. Almighty God, we confess before you that we have sinned in our thoughts, words, and actions. We have failed to look to you, Lord. We have failed to give witness of your love. Lamb of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, take away our sins. Amen. God, who called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, is faithful to forgive your sins. Jesus Christ was given to die for you. And in his stead and by his command, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, the protector of all who trust in you, without whom nothing is strong and nothing is holy, increase and multiply your mercy on us, that with you as our ruler and guide, we may so pass through things temporal that we lose not the things eternal. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. Jesus, worship his majesty. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, your ears are open always to the prayers of your servants. Open our hearts and minds to you, that we may live in harmony with all with your will and receive the gifts of your Spirit through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We've made peace with God. Let us now pass that peace in worship. I see your son here.
Good morning. The first lesson is from Genesis 18, starting at verse 17, and it's found on page 16. Then the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all nations on earth will be blessed through him. For I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised him." This ends the first reading.
Our second lesson today is taken from the book of Colossians, chapter 2, verses 6 through 15. And it reads, "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. In him you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with a circumcision done by the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or Sabbath day." Here ends our second lesson for today.
Jesus, shepherd, guardian. Our gospel reading this morning is taken from the book of Luke, chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. And it reads, "One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples.' He said to them, 'When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.' Then he said to them, 'Suppose one of you had a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And then the one inside answers, Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread, because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Here ends the reading of the gospel. We will now confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his fathers before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered, died, and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian apostolic church, and I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated for the sermon hymn.
Thank you.
So the Lord be with you. This morning we bring to you grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who calls us into worship. Well, in last week's message, one of the things we talked about was the importance of finding rest in God as we sojourn on this pilgrim journey. And one of the ways in which we said we find that rest is by waiting on God in prayer. Having a prayerful lifestyle is what we talked about last week. And the reason why this is so needful for the Christian is because we are in a battle. We are in a spiritual battle, and we need to pray. And one of the essentials of the military when on the battlefront is communication. They have to be able to communicate with base, to be able to talk about what is going on, and just if in a case where there is a need for extra help, that help will come immediately. It's the same situation with the Christian life. We need prayer, and we need it at all times. So we need to continuously communicate with heaven as we sojourn on this journey, which also is a battlefield that we find ourselves on. So today I want to emphasize a little on the importance of having a prayerful lifestyle. And during this time, we will be talking about what is prayer, why we pray, and how we are to pray. The reason why this topic becomes so important to all of us today is because far too many Christians today carry this misconception regarding prayer. And as a result of this misconception, our prayers are more rhetorical than spiritual. It is more personal than biblical. It is more manly than godly. So the Apostle James addresses this issue in James chapter 4, verse 3. He says these words, "When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasure." Okay? So what I've gathered from this text is this: prayer is not just about God satisfying our personal physical desires and wills. No, God is also deeply concerned about our morality. He's concerned about that. All right? Because when we were created in the beginning, the Bible says that God says, "Let us make man in our what? Image and likeness." And one of the things about God's image is his morality. And as you see in Scripture, when he came to the children of Israel in the Old Testament, one of the first things God had to do was to introduce himself as a holy God. Of all the gods that existed during those times, there was not a single God who introduced himself as a holy God. And God did that when he gave us the Ten Commandments. He did that, as a matter of fact, from the Garden of Eden when he told Adam what to do and what not to do. "And the day you do this, you shall surely die. Sin is going to enter you." God was always concerned about the moral aspect of man's life. And so he comes back into our time and age, and God comes with the same idea of trying to bring back to us what was taken from us. And whenever Jesus met somebody and told them, "Go and sin no more," he restored that wholeness back to them. There is a wholeness that was given to us at the beginning of creation when man was created. And God comes to bring back that wholeness. Do you know that why many Christians would rather hand their prayer request over to others and not pray themselves? It's because when they pray, they do not receive because of the motive that is behind the prayer. The prayer is one-sided. When we pray and the prayer is all about us and what we want, we become just like what God calls us, children. Children will ask you for what they want. Every parent is very, 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 very much concerned about what their children get. But we are concerned about giving them what they need. That's the first thing, is what they need. And this is the reason why you don't always give your kids what they ask for, because there are some things that are not good for them, but they don't know it. And many times the reason why we feel like our prayers are not being answered or God's not hearing us is because of the way we are praying. Our prayer becomes very selfish, and we are praying for the things that we want, and most of the time the things that we want are not the things God has for us. And we get discouraged when it comes to that, and we feel like we don't have a relationship with God, and we turn our prayers over to other people to pray for us. So here in our gospel text for today, our Lord is confronted by his disciples with a request. In Luke 11, 1b, and the Bible says he had just come from praying, and apparently they admired the fact that the Lord prayed. And so the disciples come to Jesus and say, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." So when you look at this text, apparently this was the norm during Jesus' day, where every rabbi had to teach their disciples a distinctive way to pray. Because the prayer said, the request says, teach us to pray like John taught his disciples. So apparently it was something like this that was happening. And it says, so what's up now, Jesus? I mean, we are disciples. We are following you. And the norm is that the rabbi would teach the disciples a way of prayer. So when are you going to do this? Fill us in. Bring us into the loop. And so they were all concerned about this. And when I see this, I'm not sure if they are quite concerned about this spiritual prayer kind of thing. It seemed almost like it was about what happened in their day, where a rabbi taught his followers, the disciples, how to pray. So you teach us now how to pray. So Jesus taught them how to pray, but he also taught them that the heart of prayer is not technique, it is not structure, it is not terminology. All right? He was saying to them, in other words, there's something a lot more bigger and better about prayer that I am going to show you. So for a brief moment this morning, let's look at some of the things Jesus had to say about prayer as we speak on the topic this morning. Lord, teach us to pray. And this should be the prayer of every believer. We need to be praying to God, God, teach me how to pray. Because many times we think we are praying when we really aren't. And that's what the scripture says, that the Spirit of God intercedes for us because we don't know how to pray. All right. So we need to continuously ask this question. So the first thing I want to look at in the text is that prayer is a relationship. As we pray, one thing that we need to recognize, first of all, is that prayer is a relationship. Look in Luke 11, verse 2. It said to them, Jesus says to them now, when you pray, say, Father, he's talking about Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Now, when you look at this part of the prayer, Jesus' teaching, he suggests to us what prayer really is in this part. We have a personal relationship with God, who is our Heavenly Father. You have to first remember that and accept that truth, that the God that you're talking to is a God who is your Heavenly Father, who exists, who is like, you know, a person that you talk to. Because many Christians wouldn't even pray. When they are asked to pray, they shy away from talking to God. When you talk about prayer, we don't spend time talking to God because God is abstract. And the question in our head is, where is he? Because we've gotten used to everything tangible, everything you see physically in the world, you know? And since we can't see God, where is he? How can I pray to someone I don't see? But that's where faith comes in, my friends. And we begin to walk in faith and not by sight. And we come to God in faith, knowing that he is our Heavenly Father and he is in heaven, the God that we pray to. He is not a stick. He is not a furniture. He is not a piece of material. As a matter of fact, he created everything that is around us. And he's up in heaven. And every time we get on our knees or stand in that position to pray, we remember that God is in heaven, seated on his throne, and he hears every silent conversation. And we come to him knowing that we have a relationship with this God. That is very important. This is very important, knowing about this relationship. The second thing we need to know when we come to pray is that this God is holy. Scripture says, hallowed be your name, Jesus says in the prayer. And this is a holy relationship we are in. It is not just a relationship, but it is a holy relationship. And when we enter in prayer before God, we must come in that holiness. There are many Christians, I must tell you, who do not pray personal prayers and ask God to forgive their sins. We don't. We don't do that. We don't. That stuff is for church. When we gather and we do the corporate confession on Sunday, that's where it is done. But I come to encourage you this morning, my friends, do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? You have a relationship with God, and this relationship is a holy relationship. And since this relationship is a holy relationship, we go to God in prayer. One of the things you have to recognize that our God is a holy God. You have to at all times. You see, if you had the opportunity to visit the White House, one of the things that you would do so well is go in your closet and choose your choicest suit or dress to wear to go at the White House. You're not going to put on anything and just go down there. All right? So it is with God. God is clothed in holiness. All right? His dress is holiness. His dress is righteousness. And when his people come to him, we must understand that he created us in his image and in his likeness. And one of the things that we must not forget to do is to seek his mercy in prayer. And I do that all the time as the pastor of this congregation, because the scripture says, if anyone says he has no sin, he deceives himself and the truth is not in him. And I'm not going to deceive myself and make myself feel like I don't have no sin. So I go before God, and in my prayer, one of the first things I do after I recognize that he is seated on his throne in heaven and he is holy and most and glorious, I go before God and I seek his mercy for sin. This is what we need to do. That's how you recognize that God is holy when we come in his presence in prayer. Next thing is to recognize that he says in the prayer, your kingdom come. That the kingdom of God has been established on earth. We are not waiting until we get into heaven before we enjoy this kingdom. We are in the kingdom of God. It is what the church is about. It is the reason why we are here this morning, because we are part of that kingdom. It is God's kingdom that has been established on earth. And every time we gather in the sanctuary like this, we remind ourselves that we are part of a great thing that God is doing in the world today. This morning, all over the globe, folks, people are in worship to this Most High God. And there are churches built on every street. It shows you that he owns the universe. And we worship him this morning in the beauty of his holiness. And we worship him this morning in spirit and in truth. His kingdom has come on earth. This is a knowledge that every Christian must have regarding our relationship, this relationship that we have with our Heavenly Father. The scripture lets us know that his name is Emmanuel. And what that means is God is with us. God is with us, my friends. Sometimes we go through problems in this life. We go through obstacles and storms and situations in this life. And sometimes we almost forget that God is with us, that his kingdom has been established on earth. And Jesus wants us to remember that when we enter into the presence of God, not to only see this God as the God who sits in heaven, but to see this God as the God who has established his kingdom around us, and he is here with us. And so we go in prayer with that mindset that God is with us. And that even though we walk through the valleys of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil because he is with us. What is your problem this morning, my friends? Whatever it is, I want you to know that when you enter into prayer, no matter how grave your circumstance is, remember that God is with you. That's the word of encouragement we get out of the Lord's Prayer, that God is with us. What an amazing thing. Jesus gives a parable into this gospel, emphasizing the importance of this relationship we have with our Heavenly Father. using the story of a man who goes to his neighbor because he had a guest who had come at night and he didn't have bread to give to this guest. It's talking about when we lack and we need, we go to God. And he goes and he's knocking on his friend's door. But what you need to understand about this story is that this man lives in a neighborhood where he had other friends as well. But he's not knocking on the doors of the other folks. He's knocking on this one particular door, and he won't let go of this one door. Even though the man says, I'm busy, and my kids are in bed with me, and I don't have time to come and tend to you. He kept knocking on the door. And the reason he's knocking, because he knows that this is the place, the only place where he can find help. And Jesus is telling us, when we are knocking on heaven's door, we must come with the mindset that God is the only one who is able to keep us from falling. God is the only one who is able to provide that need that the world cannot provide. And that's the kind of mindset that we need to come to God with, just like it happened in this story. We need to keep knocking and seeking and asking God and never give up in prayer, no matter what. No matter what. It's the message we get this morning. So we have a relationship, and this relationship draws us closer to God and closer to God. And as we come closer to him, it becomes more evident by the things he's working in and through us. The next thing I want to emphasize is prayer is intended for daily provision. It's not only a relationship, but it is intended for daily provision. Look in Luke 11, verse 3. He says, give us each day our daily bread. All right? This part of Jesus' teaching addresses the idea that our Heavenly Father provides, okay? He is a provider. God is a provider. He is a God of provision. We need to realize that and understand that. Let us not just read the scripture and allow it to become a book of information. It is a book of transformation. God wants to transform. It's the book of life. It is true that God provides. All right? So he says, give us this day our daily bread. Look in Philippians 4, verse 19, where he says, it says, and my God will supply all your needs. All your needs. Not your wants, but all your needs. God makes sure that our needs are provided every day. What are some of those things that we could consider as needs? Salvation. It's a need for the world today, because without it, we are going to die and spend eternity in hell. So we need the salvation of God. Not only that, but he provides for us repentance, because he knows that we slip and fall because we live in a fallen world. So we come back to God and we ask his mercy. We seek his forgiveness and we become forgiving and we continue on our journey with him. He provides that. God provides us coming to the natural world. He provides us oxygen. That's a need. Because when that shuts off, life ends. God provides us gravity to keep us steady on the earth. These are things that God is providing every day that we know nothing about. He provides our needs, my friends. Sorry about that. And we need to be very aware of what God is doing. The Bible says, according to his riches in glory. So God is providing for us the riches that he has in glory is what we are receiving. So when we pray, we must also pray knowing in faith that our Heavenly Father is a God of provision. Not just that, but our Heavenly Father provides daily needs. He will not only providing us provision, but he's providing us daily needs. Look in Lamentations 3, verses 22 through 24. It says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassion never fails. The word compassion over there is talking about seeing a person in great distress and having sympathy for them. All right? Someone is in great distress, and you're having sympathy for them. The scripture says that God's compassion never fails. You know why his compassion never fails? It's because the world we live in is a troubled world. And if God's compassion fails, then trouble is going to overtake us. So every morning, he wakes up. Every morning, scripture says, he never failed. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. God's looking down on us and taking care of us every day, my friends. Every day. Sometimes it doesn't seem that way because of the circumstance we find ourselves in. But we must know that God, by his grace, is taking care of us. The next thing the text talks about is bread. Give us our daily bread. In the Bible, the word bread can be interpreted both naturally and spiritually. And I think that the first bread that God is desirous of giving us is spiritual bread. That's the first bread God wants to give us. Why? I think so. Look in Matthew 6, verses 31 through 33. He says, "So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things." The people who are not in God, the people who do not know God, will do everything in their powers to try to get wealth. And that's what they seek on the earth. And they wake up in the morning and they lie in the beds and they are thinking about how they can get more richer than they already are. They think about those things. This morning, a lot of folks this morning thinking about that. The week has just begun and they're thinking on how they can make more money. But God says, for us Christians, we don't make this first. All right? He says, your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Not want them, but need them. God knows our needs, the scripture says. But look at what he says here. But seek first, his kingdom and his righteousness. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. That's what's first. That's the first bread that we need. That's the first bread that the church needs, that we need to seek first God's kingdom. Remember when Jesus was at the well, talking to this lady at the well, and the disciples come from town and they bring all this food. Say, "Lord, you said you were hungry. Now we brought the food. You need to come and eat something." And he says, "My meat is to do the will of the one who sent me." That's my bread. And that should be the bread of every Christian. The first bread that we should desire should be the bread that comes from above. It should be the word of God. It should be the life of God radiating in and through us. Should be the first life and the first bread that we seek. He says, and after we do that, seeking God's righteousness, what happens? All these things will be added unto you. It changes the way we pray. It changes the way we live. It changes everything about us. You see. So this is so important. You notice that our Lord Jesus also exposed us to this truth at the end of the parable in this morning's gospel. That parable in Luke 11, verse 13, he says, "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit?" Look at that. The Holy Spirit to those who ask him. All right. So the Holy Spirit is a very good gift. And this is what God wants to give us first. He wants to give to us first the Holy Spirit. When we Christians understand the work of the Holy Spirit, it changes everything for us. Everything for us. Because he is the full package. He is all that we can have. Why ask for the Holy Spirit first? Why not money, good health, and the rest? Why the Holy Spirit first? Why? We pray it, we said it just this morning in the Nicene Creed. He is the Lord and giver of what? Life. The Holy Spirit is Lord and giver of life. When the Spirit of God lives in the heart of the believer, it changes everything. He governs everything. He gives life, and he gives it more abundantly. And that's why we need him. This is why the church needs the Holy Spirit. We need to pray to God so that he will radiate inside of us. He become active inside of us. And the things that we used to do, we don't do them anymore. And people look at it and see us and see this great change and ask you, what has happened? Well, it is greater than is he that is in me now than he that is in the world. And everything changes. Everything. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is God. And when he comes, he indwells us. He sanctifies us. He enables us to do the things that we are not able to do. He strengthens us as we go along that path. He keeps us from falling. That's his work. He develops us. All right? He gives us this fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, and he develops us, and he helps us in our prayer as well. So when we have the Holy Spirit of God, we have the whole packet. So having the Holy Spirit actively involved in our lives definitely changes our desires. And when our desires change, our prayer will definitely change. Because when we live by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit priority becomes our priority. And then when that happens, God steps in. And the whole thing gets activated. And a whole new life begins. In James 5, verse 16, in closing, it reads, "Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed." And it says in the last phrase here that the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. The prayer of a righteous person, that is a person who is righteous in Christ, not in self-righteousness, but in Christ. So we enter into our prayer time in the holiness of Jesus Christ, and we begin to pray, and that prayer becomes effective, and that prayer is a very powerful prayer. I pray this morning that as we learn these things from the Lord's Prayer, it'll encourage our hearts and keep us steadfast in our faith. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and all God's people say, Amen.